God is opening up the miraculous and to us. This is to be a miracle year. We're a little slow cranking up here. But I always find that I'm usually about two steps behind the Lord, or many steps behind the Lord, because He's so fast. He's so strong. Jackie and Ernest, we're just so thankful the Lord took care of y'all and gave y'all a powerful, blessed trip. And it's good to have y'all back home, kids. But the Lord's preparing us for a miraculous and wonderful things to begin to happen in our life. Now, it's just really important that we work with God. We become cooperators to work with God and the Lord bringing to pass in our lives what God wants to. A lot of times we're just there and we're just praying and we're just expecting it to be all God. But the truth of the matter is, the miraculous will be God. But the Lord needs our cooperation. It's God's making you part of His team. And so, for the Lord to do things in your life, then God begins the miracle by beginning in each one of us. I mean, I may be needing the Lord to do so much out here. But the Lord's going to begin that by doing something deeper inside me. And so we've got to know that. So the first this year, that's when the Lord really spoke to our heart. It said the preparation, if you want the power of the Spirit, you've got to be full of the Spirit. All right, and the way you know that you're full of the Spirit, the way you know that you're full of the Spirit is the Spirit is able to produce His fruit through you. And then the supernatural gifts of the Spirit are able to follow. So to be full of the Spirit, and it's just vital important. And what God's wanting to do during this season is to form a dependency. I mean, the Lord wants us to move in some ways that we can't do, that we can't handle it. God wants us to become some people that we can't in our own. God wants us to change in some ways that we can't change ourselves. And the Lord wants us to do it with a desperate anticipation of faith that God is able to do that. See, the first miracle, you may be praying for a great miracle in your family, but the first miracle is for the Lord to be able to do through you, through me, what He desires to do. So as I yield more of myself to God on the inside, it brings me into a higher level of spiritual power of walking with the Lord. All right, so we're talking about preparation for the miraculous. Jeremy, need your help a little bit. And if you, I'll be talking to you. And y'all expecting me to do that? I'm going to take notes if you want me to do that. Yeah, go ahead. You can take it work with you if you want to. Okay. You sure you're done? All right. You work with it there. Thank you, Doug. Well, so the Lord is doing a great work in us in preparation for this last part of this year. The last part of this year, I'm really looking to be a real miraculous year. God's already began to manifest more and more miracles. But it's not for the sake of miracles. I mean, I know that we all love to see God manifest Himself. But that's not the motive. Just to see God do something is not the motive. The motive, faith worketh through love. Our faith is expressed greatly through our love. The greatest way God wants you to express your faith is through your ability to love other people. That's why faith worketh by love. God wants to work through your love, and you, by faith, God wants to conquer some things inside of us that we've not allowed the Lord to conquer yet. God wants to change some of us in some ways that we've not allowed the Lord to change us. And God wants to do some things in us that we have not allowed the Lord to do. The greatest step of faith you will ever make is the step of faith of walking in love. That is the greatest step of faith. The greatest act of obedience is the obedient to walk in love. That's why Jesus gave that characteristic to be the characteristic for the world to know that we're His disciples. Jesus did not say the way that the world would know that we're his disciples by things that we show want to show off in our life. But the Lord said, the expression of love, being able to love beyond what you are able to love in the norm. Being able to go beyond the love. Everybody's got all these limits. Well, God wants us to believe him for the miraculous and take some strong steps of obedient faith that will carry us to that next step of love. And so the Lord said, that's why I want to use love, he said. The greatest thing is to prove that you belong to me. In fact, that's one of the only proofs in all the Bible that God gives us. Because you can't fake love long. Because my love will run out. And so I can't fake my love for very long. And so the Lord says, when you see someone that will use their faith to be a greater lover, to release God's love, God said, you can mark that person. Because that person is my disciple. Amen. So it's preparing for the miracle. In fact, the Bible says, now by faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? Love. Let's just get a little background real quick. All right. So now I'm giving you, Jesus said, a new commandment. Love each other just as I've loved you. Now, he qualified the type of love he's asking for there. He said, not just love, but I want you to love the way I love. And we call that the God kind of love. God said, I want you to love with the God kind of love. Now, John 13:35 said, your love for one another will prove to the world. It will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Amen. All right. And Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Now God's going to call us to love beyond what we are able to do with knowledge. Everybody's got these lines. Well, I've done all I can do, Jerry. I've drawn the line. Well, God wants to do it beyond. Everybody say beyond. And the way the Lord said do it, God called us to imitate God. And I know we want to imitate God in walking on the water. And that's, I believe those moments of the miraculous are out there. But that's not what he's talking about in Ephesians here. In Ephesians here, he's talking about imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, because you're his dear children, then he qualifies. The next verse said, live a life filled with love. Imitate God, living a life filled with love. Act like God. Learn to act like love acts. Learn to talk like love talks. And then learn to think how love thinks. And the Bible says that's the way we imitate God. And I told you that Sunday that it's little boys and big boys' clothes. And what we have in the church all the time is all of us, and my life is certainly included. Because I've been told to imitate God, then you will be disappointed at times in me. Because I'm still a little boy trying to grow up. But God said if I would imitate him, if I would begin to act like real love acts, and if I would begin to talk like real love talks, and if I would begin to think, and that's the third level, if I would begin to think like real love thinks, then I would be able to grow up into him. And so the Lord's called us to do this. There's a little life, a little love. Now, Galatians chapter 5, it tells us the problem is. The problem is that the sinful nature inside of all of us doesn't want us to do that. And the sinful nature is opposite of what the Spirit wants. And Galatians 5:17 says, these two forces are constantly fighting. That's why we have a problem with our anger. I mean, that's why I have a problem with disappointment. That's why I'll get disappointed with you. Or that's why you'll get disappointed with me. Because it's these forces that are on the inside of us that are fighting each other. There's a part in my sinful nature that does not want me to love beyond what I think I can love. But there is a supernatural, somebody say a supernatural power. I love what it says in Romans 8 and 2. It says, and because you belong to him, I love the way this says this, the power of the life-giving spirit. We have a new power in us. We have a new ability inside of us that will help us to go beyond. Now let me tell you, I want to shake up your eyes here a little bit. This is what's keeping most of you from walking in church leadership. This right here. Because the Bible says, serving the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. God wants to develop love inside of us. And I'm going to be honest with you, as the elders of this church, when we look for people, that's the number one. It's not how smart you are. And it's certainly not how many Bible scriptures you can quote. But it's the power of love that you have. The Bible says that if you're going to bring peace and conflict into a situation, the Bible says you have to be able to do it with gentleness. Now, gentleness and kindness is the first qualification of love. Being able to temper yourself, to become a gentle person and to become a kind person. Being able to temper yourself beyond what we're able to do. Now, I don't know about you, but I was raised with these two forces obvious. I was raised in a family where it was fighting and loving both going on at the same time. I mean, our family, they would hug each other and love each other and then pull guns on each other. And And these forces were all tying the forces that are in each of us individually finally brought almost a complete destruction to our family. So the Bible says that when you look out for church leadership, you're not looking for somebody that's prompted by the Spirit. You're looking for somebody that can be controlled by the Spirit. You're looking for somebody that can allow the Lord to temper them. Because what each one of us can give each other our peace of mind. I mean, that's not a hard task. Especially if you don't have much mind. That's not a hard task. But see, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the love of Christ constrains us, holds you back. See, the love of Christ holds you back. Somebody said, I just have to tell them the truth. If you do, the Bible says you've got to do it in love. I mean, you don't love by telling people the truth. That's not what it says. You got it backwards. You speak the truth and you temper it and allow it to be constrained to make sure you do it in love. And then you don't do it till you do it in love. Because you speak the truth in love. You have to make sure you do it in love. Amen? So it's just wonderful what the Lord... Now, years ago, I wanted to just see the power of God, like all of us did. And so I ran off to a Kenneth Copeland meeting. I loved it. And Lord and behold, Sister Copeland taught the whole thing on love. Talking about the greatest strength, the greatest source of power inside of us is the ability to love. The greatest strength is when we become tempered underneath the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit can constrain you. Each one of us can say a lot. Each one of us can do a lot. But the Holy Spirit puts us under his reins. Now, you know how much I love to be around horses. If I love to be around horses, I'd be around horses. But I have a lot of fond memories of that. And I tell you, you can have a good horse, but there's great horses. A great horse is a horse of great power, but totally constrains underneath its master. A good horse, you can take a little whip and pop it on the back, and a good horse will get up and run. A great horse, when the master gently releases or gently loosens the rein, will begin to run underneath the authority of his master. So what God is trying to help all of us to do is become constrained by love. Where we are tempered by love. And we do that, like I said, in three ways. Number one, I must act like love acts. Now, there are some things that we can know that love is and love's not. The Bible tells us, walk in the Spirit and you shall not feel the lust. It says when the Spirit controls our lives, he will produce what? Love. He will produce love. I change as I allow God's love to live in me. I change as I allow God's love to live in me. Some of you are wrestling with change. Some of you are wrestling with your feelings. Some of you are wrestling with promptings inside you that you know is not of the Lord. And God will help you. The reason you're wrestling with that is because God is bringing you to a place to lean heavily upon him. And it's a great thing when you desperately need God to control yourself and you know it. When you desperately need God not to take that next drink. When you desperately need God not to take that next drug. When you desperately need God not to talk harsh and hard. When you desperately need God to pull you back underneath his constraints. If you know that, it's a great thing. If you don't know that, that's a sad thing. Dependency on the Holy Spirit. When a person becomes saved, God expects from that point of salvation us to be on this ever non-ending journey in pursuit of the Holy Spirit. More of the Holy Spirit's power, more of the Holy Spirit's grace. God qualifies that love by calling it a giving love. Amen? All right, four things that will help us walk in that love. The first thing is, we need to ask what love is. Because I'm going to tell you what most of us think love is our love. It's not God's love. What most of our terms are love, what we see as love, all that love that we draw lines and limits and say, and then we feel I'm scratching your back as you scratch mine. I'm willing to meet you halfway and all of those episodes like that. That's our love. That's human love. That's not God's love. God's love will cause you to love your enemies. God's love shines the strongest when you can literally love your enemies. You show that love to your enemies by three ways. You continue to act the way love acts to your enemies. You continue to talk like love talks to your enemies. And number three, you begin to think like love thinks about your enemies. And that's hard. And only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe it takes being filled with the Spirit. I believe it takes seeking God in the Holy Spirit. I believe it takes being filled with the Holy Spirit and allowing the Spirit of God to speak through you. I believe it takes prayer language. Listen, the reason that prayer language is so important in this church, because the Bible says that's the way we build up ourselves on our faith. That doesn't make faith. That takes faith and puts it in the proper channels. See, when you walk, if somebody walks here, say, I want to see a miracle tonight. I just say, that's the wrong motive. The right motive for a miracle is for you to love that person with such a compassion. You don't want to see them ill anymore. And you know there's a compassionate God in heaven that can heal that person and deliver that person for the glory of God. That's the right motive. The wrong motive. Well, I just want things to move around here. Right motive. We want to see the Lord heal people's hearts, heal people's lives. Because we love people. Because that's God's love inside of us. Can you say amen? So it has to be done through the mind. So what is love? And I need to act like love acts, and I need to talk like love talks, and I need to think like love thinks, don't I? So what is love? Well, there's four major words that you know, four major Greek words for the word love. And there's only one of those love that God called us to do, to be participate in and use his power to achieve. Now, the first one is the word stargy, which is a family type love. We have that, but so many times we feel like that's God's love. That's love that God put in us human. A human love is to love your family. An animal does that. An animal takes care of their own. When you see especially a believer that doesn't love their own family and doesn't take care of their family, when you see a man that won't provide and you see a woman that won't submit and you see people that argue and fuss, I tell you, you have got animal instincts reigning in that family. Because the truth of the matter is, God makes that natural love. Natural love is family-type love. And then there's the word eros, which is a physical type of love. It's a love you feel. And we want that. Somebody says, well, I can't be a hypocrite. I don't feel that love. There's only one person you're really supposed to feel love toward, and that's your wife or your mate, your husband. I'm being honest with you. This is the only form of love that has feeling associated with it, directly associated with it. Now, it's where we get the word erotic, because when what people do, they take it and they change it into pornography, and they change it into all types of sins. And they take what God meant to be beautiful inside of a marriage and they prostitute it out. Watching things on television that you shouldn't be watching. Looking at things on the internet that people should not be looking at. I mean, listen, honey, unless you can say no to those things, you're never going to be able to do great things for God. We have to be able to calm those animal instincts through the power of the Spirit that's inside of us. And let me say this. If you're trying to promote yourself in this church and you're involved with pornography, do you not know that is a sin that's going to rot your life out? And do you think God wants to promote you and get you up standing in front of people, leading people with that kind of rottenness in your life? First, you've got to learn to take the strength and the grace of God to be able to begin to handle those animal instincts. And somebody say, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we're desperate for the power of the Holy Spirit. We're desperate for God's power to empower us. Anybody can fuss. Anybody can fight. Anybody can give them a piece of your mind. Anybody can tell them really like it is. Anybody can tell them the truth. But it takes a true believer that God is empowered by the Holy Spirit to temper their language back, to temper their thoughts back, and to temper their actions back to make them the acts of love. It takes the Holy Spirit. You can't, I can't do that. Many of you, Brother Thornton, I used to tell people just how much I loved him. And one of the major reasons I loved him, because he saw me mess up royally, and he loved me anyway. I mean, he would see, back then, years ago, he would see me get mad, and Brother Thornton would just come over, and he'd just grab me around the shoulder, and he'd say, it's going to be all right, Brother Jerry. I mean, it was so wonderful. You understand? But those things inside of us are not right. Those have to be mastered by the Master. Wow. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's working inside of us. Now, the next one is phileo, and phileo is a brotherly love. I mean, this is not even having brotherly love for each other. That's not supernatural. God built the human being with that for them. If you see that's why it's so unnatural for the terrorists in this world to be doing what they're doing. To kill their own brothers and to kill innocent people. It's so going against the natural form of things in this world. Because God built every person with the natural love. That's not supernatural. Natural love. The natural love of loving your brother. That's why if you have hatred toward any race, honey, you got to know you've went against nature. If you've allowed yourself to see yourself as something more than other people, and I tell you, prejudice runs in all types, shades, and I mean every way you can possibly think of. Rich, poor, smart, dumb, I mean it runs rampant. But it goes against the nature that God created us in being. Now that's all natural love. But there is a level, somebody said there is a level of love that goes supernatural. And it's the word agape. And that kind of love will cause you to love somebody that's cursing you. And when somebody is rawly messing up in front of you, that kind of love will continue to cause you to believe the best in them. Because that's what love does. Love believes the best in all situations. And so what is love? Well, number one, we've got to see love. The truth of the matter, God told us to imitate Him. Unless we really see God as a lover, each one of us, not only we live in out natural love, but we're walking in the view of God that we have. That's why if something's going to really miraculously happen in our lives, it has to come out of love. Faith worketh by love. It's the gear. It's what pulls the gear shift of faith. It either has to come out of two things. Either I have to get totally lost in the fact of how much God loves me. Now, I can get lost in that, and if I do, I'll find God is a healer, and I'll find God is a deliverer. And I'll find out, you know what? It's okay. God's going to work this thing out. Do you understand? Because, see, there is a patience that comes out of the supernatural kind of love. And that patience will give you the power to wait on the other one to do it at their pace, even if their growth seems to be much less than yours. Oh, in the church, we're notorious at pointing at everybody that's not doing it like we're doing it. Which the true act of supernatural love is patient. It has the supernatural ability to wait on the other one. To grow up, to grow out. You know, what would it do in every marriage if we just allow the supernatural love of patience to be in it? If we quit desperately trying to change each other and could patiently wait on God to work in their life. Oh, I know we're in a hurry. But God waits on us. In God's great love for me, somebody says, I'm right in the middle of God's timetable. Well, I probably lost God's timetable 2 seconds out of the starting gate. But in His love, He has waited on me. In His great love, in His supernatural love, He's waited on me to grow. He's waited on me to get a desire to grow. Then He's waited on me to need Him to grow. Supernatural power. Now, the first thing is that I must do, I must act like love acts. The first action of love is kind. And there's no other description. It's not a less than kind. It's not a kind for 10 years. It's our kind. The Lord said, kindness is always the action of supernatural love. Boy, I've watched some things during the past many years. I saw two brothers one night at an altar be there for prayer and then begin to ask each other outside. I mean, man, the devil, how crazy can we be? How crazy can we be? You know why? Because we try to love each other with our own love. We tried to do it in ourselves. And we thought that when we couldn't do it anymore, we thought there's no way I could ever do that. And so we drew lines, and we call that God's love. God's love has no lines. It never gives up. Everybody say it never gives up. 1 Corinthians 13, love never gives up. Amplified said it never fades. It never fades away. It never gives up. So instead of realizing that the greatest step of faith I will ever make is the opportunities I have many times a day to take a step of faith in love. And allow myself to love someone that's treated me bad, talked about me, put a knife in my back. But God said, when you do that, when you allow me to do that in you, they'll know I'm real. That's what he said. They'll know I'm real. They'll know I'm real. They'll know I'm real. So how do you do it? It's a step of faith. The Bible tells us to put on love. It doesn't say feel love. Nowhere in the Bible is any command on feeling love. Now, feelings of love will come as you get into that third stage, as you begin to think thoughts of love and you begin to fight those thoughts that are contrary to love. See, the Bible says love thinks the best. It tells you how love thinks. It always thinks the best of every person. It said it always thinks the best, even of people that I know better, you know. But love says, how does love think? It thinks the best of every person. It believes the best, it says. How does love act? Love acts kind, gentle. A powerful horse that's restrained itself underneath the master of the Holy Spirit. We could do a lot of things, but we won't do them. We could say a lot of things, but we won't say them. Amen. You know, I told you Sunday, there's more descriptions of what love is not than what love is. The Lord builds fences for us. But he tells us to put on love. So that is command. So for me to do that, then it takes that real act of faith. I find out that so many people don't know how to receive the grace of God. The grace of God is always a figment of imagination to some people. Instead of realizing it's the strength to do something I can't do in myself. It's the grace of God that God would tell you to think, to talk, and to act in love ways towards someone. And it would take a step of faith to do that. You will almost have to shut your eyes. We call it a blind step of faith. Shut your eyes and say, God, I will step. And see, in that step is where the supernatural grace of God comes. It's the willingness to obey God. The greatest way you ever use your faith is in obedience. I mean, it's when Jesus said, Peter, get out of the boat. In obedience to that, Peter got out of the boat. And then when he began to question it, he sank. So, the greatest act of faith that any of us will ever do is to act loving when we don't feel loving, to talk loving when we feel screaming, and to think loving when we want to think. I cannot tell you how many times a day that I have to catch myself. I mean, in a moment of time, somebody can crisscross me, And in a moment of time, my mind will begin to condemn the very people that God's called me to bless. Because not only does love not do something, it does something. It blesses instead of curses. The strongest control that will ever be shown in your life is the control over your mouth. If you can control your mouth, the Bible says you're a mature believer. The strongest control that you will ever show of God controlling your life is the ability to control your mouth. But we can't do it. But what we can do, we can pursue God and we can pursue the Holy Spirit. And then I can recognize what love is. And I can also recognize what love is not. And I can recognize when I've come to the limit of my human love. And I've come to a place I've got to receive a supernatural power of God if I'm to go on. If I'm to love you the way God wants me to love you, then I've got to get the grace of God to love you when the devil shows me your failures, to love you when the devil's trying to criticize you to me. But that's the strongest step of faith I will ever make. Then everything else is less. See, the reason Peter sank is not because he just sank. It's because Jesus has said to him, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Oh, Lord, you know I love you." But Peter couldn't see beyond his love. But Jesus called him to a supernatural level. 50 days after the crucifixion, Peter finally hit it. And he learned to move in the supernatural grace of God and love. So, Lord, we thank you tonight. We just give you praise for all the goodness of the Lord. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you're going to... How many is having a struggle right now loving somebody that's seemingly unlovable in your life? Is anyone here having a real struggle? Why don't you just stand if you're having a struggle? If you're having a struggle with really... I want the Lord to pinpoint some power of the Holy Spirit. I want the Lord to pinpoint it. I want the Lord to pinpoint... Let's attach some practical living to our faith. Let's attach some practical living. Precious Holy Spirit, and I'm standing with y'all. I want you to know I'm standing with you because I desperately need God to help me. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as these are standing, there's relationships that's represented here. There's jobs that's represented here. There's family issues that's represented here. There's all types of circumstances, Lord, that's represented as we just stand before you. And Lord, the first thing that we want you to know is we do not have the power to do that in ourselves. In myself, in my own power, I cannot love to that capacity. But Father, I ask you, precious Holy Spirit, I ask you to fill me. Go ahead and ask the Lord that personally, would you? Say, Lord, fill me. Fill me, Lord. Fill me with the power of your Spirit to where I can put to death those carnal natures that's trying to lurk inside of me. To where, Lord, I can put on love. I can put on kindness. I can put on gentleness. Through your power, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if that was a step of faith, then you know what must accompany that from this moment on, right? Your confession must accompany it. You must begin to speak. The Lord, you're empowering me to love. We've got to first get our faith lined up. Lord, you're empowering me to love. 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 Come on, say that with me. You're empowering me, Lord. You're empowering me to love. You're empowering me to love with your love in Jesus' name. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.